And actually, a number of you, from your sharing, segue into what I've been thinking about sharing with you this evening. Many of you had done a good job practicing with what we talked about last week, allowing joy into your heart and allowing gratitude to arise and seeing the power of practice, remembering to practice to help us live through this. And a number of you have also touched on how really very challenging the situation is. And I think if you have been following the news this week, you will see this is the week of, oh, this is not gonna go away soon. And this is actually really bad week. It is a week that many people would find quite difficult to stay just positive. It's a very challenging situation, and Sylvia did a good job really articulating it. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about how to watch out for our habits coming back in blocking our ability to fully connect with our experience. So, we'll talk about opening our heart to our full self. We are in a very extraordinary situation. Everyone of any kind of expertise coming out to say that never seen this. Never seen this. And we have no idea how this is going to be. And you begin to hear people saying that this is nothing, that we have never seen anything like this since World War II, since the Great Depression. It is not just the financial crisis anymore. So many experts are coming out to talk about the gravity of the situation and just looking at the unemployment data that came out these last couple of days. Any illusion that we are just going to bounce back and go back to normal in May, in June, is actually evaporating very quickly. So this is a situation that's extremely anxiety-inducing, and so it is important for us to cultivate this clear awareness of our very entrenched habits. This is when we feel when we're in the very stressful situation, a very unusual situation, situation with a great deal of uncertainty. It's easy for our entrenched habit to kind of creep up on us and take over if we are not careful, not clearly aware. So some of the, I will bring up a couple popular candidates. You might notice, you may notice some of that yourself. There might be other habits that you are more familiar with. For those of you who are very good Buddhists, who read a lot and use Buddhist concept to make sense of your life a lot, you might want to be aware of the habit of intellectualizing your current experience using Dhamma concept. So looking at, oh, for example, Sylvia talking about the stocks and then like people, the jobs disappearing and our world would not be the same again. And you tell yourself, well, it's impermanence, you know? It's like, it's just things change. And like, and you hear, you know, another 1,000 people die. Well, people die, you know? That's just what happens. Like, this is not wisdom. It sounds like wisdom, but it is really more like denial. We are using Dharma concept to block ourselves from fully experiencing what we are feeling. Maybe it's anxiety, maybe just fear, maybe it's this sense of loss. Recently, I read this article written by someone who's a grief expert. He talked about that what we're feeling, we can't name it, but really it's grief. We are grieving the world that is gone. The normal world, the sense of safety, the sense that like, oh, like I usually go on this vacation in this on in the summer, or like you have the rest of the year usually, or you have children who have summer camps. Though the normalcy, the sense of safety, the things that make up our life, the routine, the visits with friends, being able to hang out with people. It's none of this is okay and easy and safe at this moment. And the sense of loss and grieving that and allowing ourselves to fully experience that. And I think that's what Sylvia is talking about, this feeling of vulnerability, of like feeling lost, feeling confused, and allowing that to be experienced fully when it arises. I'm not saying that everybody will feel that. Maybe you don't. But I'm saying that in some moments, we might find those thoughts and feelings arising in our mind. And watch for our urge to use these Dhamma concepts to block them, to explain them away, so that we do not feel that the painful feeling of loss or confusion. And we may tell ourselves, yes, it's all empty. You know, this is the world, and the world's gone, and it's all causes and conditions, and cause and condition change, and it's empty. And then telling ourselves that as if this is okay. You know, I know, I see, I can even use a word, it's empty. Watch for that. When we are using these Dhamma concepts to explain things away, watch what it is that we are doing, how we might be using that to turn away from our present moment experience of ourselves. In this situation, it is normal to feel bad. You hear maybe in your town or in your city, hundreds of people just died. In New York City, people bodies need to be stored in containers. It's terrible. It's normal to feel terrible and feel bad and allow ourselves the space, a lot of space to experience that and to process that. And allow these thoughts and feelings of loss, sadness, maybe loss of seeing our children being stuck at home and losing this part of their childhood, being able to run freely with their friends, and they have to be afraid of the virus. It's painful to watch and see that as well. Allow ourselves to, when moments of that feeling come up, allow ourselves to feel it as well. And this is also part of cultivating this total clear awareness. It's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that, oh, I'm supposed to cultivate gratitude, allow joy in. I would like focus on positive joy and only that is not total awareness. You are, when you are doing that, you're blocking what you would call as not positive, not joy stuff, the painful thing, the sadness, you are disallowing them. That is a form of tension in the mind we are developing. And I just read a piece today that people who go through a period of quarantine, very often they develop mental illness without being aware of it. Depression, anxiety, healthcare workers who have committed suicide. If we are not careful, if we get too invested into trying to only feel positive, only feel joy, and not allowing other aspects of our experience to enter our awareness, we are setting ourselves up for serious problem down the line, maybe in the form of depression, PTSD. Research has shown a much higher likelihood of PTSD a few years after people who have experienced quarantine. I'm not saying we all do that, it will happen to us, but that happens when we don't allow ourselves to fully experience and acknowledge everything. So the moment where you feel you just, it's so overwhelming, it is so painful, so sad, and you need to feel that, you know, find a place in your home and allow yourself to really feel that. Maybe your method is to journal, you write and write and no one is going to read that, and to express your, acknowledge your feeling. For some people, it might be finding some time to allow yourself to really feel it. Maybe you cry as a method of release, acknowledging and discharging and releasing. Very different from suppressing it, engaging in denial. And in those moments, we might think that, oh, I'm not practicing well, something's wrong with me, I'm like feeling bad, I'm feeling angry, I'm feeling confused, I'm suffering, I'm not practicing properly. No, actually, in those moments, you are not in denial. You're doing good. You are actually being clearly aware of what's going through your mind. You're allowing yourself to fully experience yourself in that moment. And it's counterintuitive. You might think that, oh, then I'm going to fall into depression and I just feel sad and I won't be able to take care of my family and I'll be blah, 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 I'll be paralyzed. No, when you don't block yourself from being able to fully experience that, you will notice that that will come through and is fully experienced. And maybe you allow yourself to feel maybe the pain, maybe irritation, maybe anger, whatever it is. When you know it's going on, you're much less likely to act it out and lash out on someone else. If it's anger and irritation, you feel it in your body, you feel it in your mind. And you feel that, if you know that you can't control yourself lashing out on others, go find a corner in your house. I literally saw someone, they make a little like corner, like a little naughty corner that they put up for kids, but they go into it themselves, a little blanket, and they go in and just, they go in and do whatever they do until it's like they feel better and they come back out. That is self-care. In fact, that is wisdom, because you're clear about what's going on and you act to take care of it. It's also compassion, looking after yourself. As a result, you're also looking after others. And also be aware of the habit of believing that you should feel a certain way. I've already alluded to that. So it's easy to hear a talk and talk about joy and gratitude, and you could register in your mind, okay, I practice well and I should feel gratitude like all the time. I hear a lot of you, I'm great, and it's good. Like that's, I said, gratitude arises naturally when we are clearly aware of what's going on. Indeed, many of you mentioned, I'm grateful for the fact that I have this house, that I have my family, I mean, I have my health. Very good, very good. So I'm not saying that you are doing anything wrong. What I am asking you to also be aware of is this tendency to think that we should feel a certain thing. So we may identify certain positive feeling that we should have all the time. So if your favorite is gratitude, that you may tell yourself that I should feel grateful. Then when we are feeling sad, when we are maybe feeling agitated about not being able to do the thing I usually can do, maybe go hang out with your friends, or maybe just go out and get together. Like so for a lot of family, Easter is a big thing for family get together. You can't do that, and maybe you might notice moments of agitation, being upset, maybe the stress of working at home with children around, and then you may tell yourself that even in the moments of great stress and maybe agitation, you're like so upset that what's going on, and you're so stressed out, or maybe you're irritated with the children, and you're telling yourself, "I should be grateful." And the shoulding of this, it's an action of the mind to block our feeling, to block ourselves from fully experiencing ourselves. Tell yourself instead, like, yeah, what is this present moment? This present moment, I do feel some agitation. If we allow ourselves, oh, yep, I can feel that the body's a little tense, my mind's a little agitated. If you allow yourself to acknowledge that, it's there, and maybe in a few moments, maybe in a few minutes, maybe in a few hours, it on its own go away. However, if instead we shoot ourselves, tell ourselves that I should be more grateful, I should feel grateful because, like, well, it's at least I have my job, at least I have this house, and I have my family. We shoot ourselves and that and block us and block our certain aspect of our present moment experience. We are forcing ourselves to turn away and disconnect from the full array of the present moment experience of ourselves. And in a way, it is also a form of violence. You're feeling bad, you're feeling sad, you're feeling agitated, and you're telling, you should feel grateful. Imagine you have a kid who's feeling upset that she can't go see her friends, and you're telling her, you should be grateful you have a house. Is that compassion? But we might be doing it to ourselves as a form of violence to ourselves. So part of cultivating this clear awareness is to be to see if we might be falling into these habits when we sort of tack on the idea that I should feel grateful or I should feel positive. Or I should feel calm. Like I'm a practitioner. I should feel calm. I should not be agitated. I should not be upset. I should not be angry. I should but me be whatever besides being calm and be all together and compassionate. And you might have some moment you don't feel that compassionate. Maybe you're upset that there are people who are still out going to coronavirus parties, and you hear that, it drives you nuts. And so there are those moments, and watch out for these should, the idea that I should be calm all the time. I should feel positive. I should feel joyful all the time. We are in a situation where more than 10 million people just lost their job overnight. Thousands of people dying just in our country every day. And you're telling yourself, I should feel joyful all the time? Really? There are some moments you connect with joy happening around you. Maybe a lot of the moments. We live in a beautiful environment. I open my slider, I hear the birds, and I enjoy that. But also, feeling the suffering of people who are dealing with injustice in other parts of the world, authoritarian regime ramping up their oppression, people losing their family members, or maybe our own fear, our own intense fear of maybe being infected. Helen talked about that. Or maybe a fear of someone we love getting infected. Or maybe losing someone who have to go to the hospital. Now you can't go and visit people who are hospitalized. So what if like this happened and I can't go to the hospital to see my parents? The fear. It's more normal for that to come up. So the moment when that shows up, you feel it. And allowing ourselves to a lot of space to feel and acknowledge it. And like I mentioned, whatever method we use to allow yourself to acknowledge, maybe journaling, maybe talking to someone. Maybe while you are reflecting, allowing yourself to experience that. And instead of suppressing these feelings of fear or vulnerability to create this fake sense of calm, to tell us that, oh, I just feel calm all the time. Or I'm feeling positive all the time. And worse, go and put it on Facebook and tell everyone that you're feeling calm and positive all the time, and that's what they should feel. So, cultivating this clear, total awareness is to allow everything that's here in the present moment to be here and to be experienced fully. And even in the moment you recognize this resistance. Ah, the resistance. Remembering to practice, like Sandra mentioned. So you notice the resistance. Ah, yeah, I don't want, I'm resisting some part of what's going on in the present moment. Yeah, oh yeah, because I don't think I should feel angry. Haha, funny. Then allow yourself to feel the irritation, to feel the agitation, and then it's discharged. And next moment, maybe you feel joy. Next moment, maybe you feel calm. Maybe next moment, you feel gratitude. Or maybe next moment, now you feel sad. Whatever that's happening in this moment is indeed the coming together of many, many causes and conditions. the world that was going on 2-3 weeks ago, what we call the normal world, not here anymore. And many, many things have changed. And expecting ourselves to feel, to be the same calm, positive person all the time in this moment with many causes and conditions that are quite different and we have never been here before is really asking a bit much. That is a habit of harshness. So remember when we notice this habit of this being harsh on ourselves, you have to be perfect. You have to be calm all the time. You have to be grateful all the time. Sometimes I just feel really sad about what I can no longer do. And you allow that to be recognized rather than suppressed, blocked, and you are allowing yourself to be in this silent illumination. Silent illumination is not about blocking uncomfortable feelings and thoughts. It is about being fully with what we call uncomfortable feeling and thoughts and be okay with it, allow it to be here, not trying to push it away, not trying to make it different, and then it's gone. Or you stay longer than you would like, and it's okay. And be very clear what's going on, then we know what to do. You know what to do. Like I said, it can involve taking some time out. Just tell everyone in your house, don't talk to me, I need to go into my room. Or you have to go for a walk. Find the things that you do that calms you down. But in a very clear way. You know, when you know what you're experiencing, you are much more likely to know what you need to do. And you are much less likely to react to it and act unwisely and inflict more harm to others. So I leave that for you to work with alongside with allowing joy into our heart. It's really a reminder. A reminder. It's not about only allowing ourselves to feel a certain way or see a certain thought. Yeah.